my heart this week has just really been on the church and really been on prayer and really been on what are we doing as Christians? What am I doing? Am I doing enough for Christ? Am I living the life? And let's look at the book of Luke. I've got about six scriptures I want to read. They're not long, but I want to go through some things this morning. The book of Luke, chapter 19, verse 10 says, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." Now, the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost. Now, how many here would agree that we're to be like Christ to the best of our ability? How many would agree to that, right? That's what we're supposed to be as Christians. Now, I know we're not perfect. Christ was perfect, but we're not. But Paul said we're to strive to be perfect. And that word strive means to, that's an effort, right? Strive is something you have to do. It takes effort. It's something that you force yourself almost to do. You have to strive to run sometimes. I used to love to run. Now, no. You know, it's when I was young, running was easy. Wasn't a big deal. When I was in the service, you know, when I was had to keep in shape, I didn't mind getting up at 4 o'clock and going for a run. I was an early bird most of the time, most of my life, but I didn't mind running, you know, 4 or 5 miles, 6 miles. I mean, let's do it, you know, and I was pretty good at running. But now, I'm telling you, it takes a lot of effort to get me to run right now, you know. Now I can see, you know, somebody had to be after me that was a lot bigger than me. I might run then. But you know, we're supposed to be like Christ. And if we're supposed to be like Christ, then if we're supposed to do the things that He did, which is what He actually asked us to do, then we are here. He left us here for this purpose, to seek, which is an effort, and to save what was lost. Amen?
Amen.
That's our job. You know, and sometimes I think we there's a few reasons why we don't. I wonder sometimes, are we ashamed of the gospel of Christ? Are we weak in our faith that we think, well, that's just not me. That's not what I do. Hear me now this morning. There was a, in the Civil War, there was a general that gave a command to a field commander. He told the field commander, he said, "Go and take that hill." The field commander replied, "I'll try, sir." And the general replied back, he said, "I didn't ask you to try. I told you to go take the hill." And the field commander replied, "I'll take it or die." And the general replied again, he said, "I didn't tell you to take it or die. I told you to go take the hill." And the field commander is riding off on horseback. He replied back, he said, "I'll take that hill." And the story says that he did. They won the hill. Now, why is that story important? Because I think sometimes we get the mentality or the mindset that we're trying. I'm trying to be a Christian. I try to talk to people. I try. Instead of having that mindset of I will. Because, you know, we are soldiers for Christ. We're in a battle. And our job is to what? To seek and to save what was lost. And we can look at Mark chapter 16. Let's look at Mark chapter 16. This is what Jesus told His disciples. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned." There again, he said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." That's another thing that He told us to do, right? And we're familiar with that scripture. Also in Matthew, when He says that, you know, the Great Commission. It's another thing that we're supposed to do. He didn't say, go try to save. Go try He said, go save. Go seek. Go find. Go into all the world. That was something He didn't ask us to try to do. He said, you go do it. Amen? And I ask myself, I preach, you know, I think to this to myself, am I doing that? Or am I just trying to do that? Am I doing that, really? I know that Leonard made a great comment the other day, and I appreciate Brother Leonard for the comment that he made. We had a conversation Wednesday night. And he said, you know, he was talking about Marines. Leonard's kind of, he kind of favors the Marines for some reason. He kind of likes the Marine Corps. Like they're better than everybody else, I don't know. But he said, you know, as a Marine, we're all trained right off. We're trained to be riflemen, right? We're all trained to be riflemen. Army's the same way. So everybody's a shooter, but not everybody's the best shooter because we have marksmen, we have sharpshooters, and we have experts. But they all qualified, right? All of them qualified. So don't ever think that, you know, we're kind of like that is what my point is. We're in this, in a battle. We're all like Marines. We're all like soldiers. And even beyond that, there's some of us that are, you know, we have different, you know, corporals and privates and lieutenants, and you know, we have company commanders, and we have, you know, platoon sergeants, and we have, you know, squad sergeants, squad leaders. We have all these different places, positions, you know, and whoever served, no, you have this position. Well, the church is no different. God's gifted us in different ways. He's given us different abilities, and yet we're all Christians. We're all riflemen. Not all of us are on the same level. Some of us are better shooters than others. Sometimes some people are, you can say, oh, I can't be like so-and-so because, man, he can just really, or that person can really talk to people and do that. I can't do it like that. So? It's not meant to be that way sometimes. It's meant to be just like Leonard's point was, when the time comes and you're in battle, everybody's shooting. All right? It doesn't matter whether who you, it doesn't matter who you are. You're going to do what you were trained to do. And that training comes with effort. It's something we have to do. You get my point this morning? You get my point this morning? I hope I explained that well, brother. And I appreciate that.
Always just ask God to guide me and use me.
Amen. Amen. Let's look at Matthew 9:36. Matthew 9:36. I got a point to all this. So then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Think about that. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Harvest is plentiful. We've got a community right here that statistics tell us, with the amount of churches that we have, 90% of the people in this community do not go to church. You think about that. 90% of the people that are in this community, in this county, don't have a church, don't go to church. The harvest is plentiful. It doesn't matter what income level people are on. There's people in this community that are hurting. They're lost. They need Christ in their life, and that's what we're supposed to be doing. That's what we're in the battle for, is to seek and to save. I'm going to skip. Let's look at Proverbs. There's a great scripture in Proverbs that I found. Great scripture in Proverbs. Proverbs 11:30. And I know I'm skipping there, Carla. Verna's gone. Verna and Larry are gone. And I appreciate Carla helping me out here on this. It says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and the one who is wise saves lives. You hear that? The one who is wise, when souls is wise, it says a little bit different in that translation. The righteous tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Well, who's he talking to? He's talking to you and I. He's talking to you and I. I mean, it's our job to get out there and win souls. Who's going to do it? If we're not the ones doing it, any business, what's this church in the business of doing? If you look at it as a business, what are we in the business of doing? Saving souls, right? Winning souls to Christ. And as a business, if we look at our records and we look at what we've done, are we really a successful business or not? Amen.
I mean, our soul has been wonderful ever since.
Amen, brother.
I'm just so proud of my church, and I've heard other people say, well, I'm going to another church. And I said, no, God put me in that church, and that's where I'll be till the day I die. and I love my church and all my people.
Amen. 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 And that's amazing too. That's a testimony in itself, right? Amen. I mean, you know, I think about each and every one of us that are here. Somebody had to be that soldier for Christ. Somebody had to. And I know that sometimes we are, and sometimes we get complacent and we stop doing that, and we need to be encouraged. And that's what this message is about. It's not about saying that, well, you're not doing it. I'm not pointing fingers at anybody and say you're not doing what God wants you to do. I'm just saying I'm encouraging you to be that soldier for Christ. And then, you know, just like anybody knows, it's not always easy. We have to strive for that. We have to strive to be like Christ. And it's a battle. It's hard. It's not always easy. I got to tell you a story. I told some on the Wednesday night crowd this a couple weeks ago. You know, in my secular job, I'm a salesman. Missouri is my territory. I have no Illinois counties. I have 17 counties in Missouri. I do a lot of driving. Well, I got an ad on. I got somebody messaged me on Facebook wanting a quote on a building. I thought he was from Missouri because he replied on my Missouri website. And when I asked him for his address, he said, this was a month ago that he replied. And I gave him a price on a building, and he replied. I'll try to make this quick. And so anyway, he messaged back just about a week ago and said, hey, I'm ready. I want that building. I said, send me your address. Well, he sent me his address. It's in Trenton, Illinois. It's not my territory. So I went to the salesman that's in that territory, and I said, hey, this guy messaged me and everything, and he's like, where is it at? And I was just going to give it to him. I was like, you know, this is not my territory. It's yours. He said, well, I'll tell you what. He said, this guy's in Trenton. He said, I really don't want to drive to Trenton at 4:30 in the evening, see, because this guy doesn't, he works too, like most of us do, so I have to drive late in the evening. And so I told him, I said, well, I guess I'll take it, you know. And so I drive to Trenton, I meet the customer up there. And so as we're talking, we get to talking, and you know me, if I have an open door, I'm going to talk about church. Because I love to talk about church. That's honest. I do. I love to talk about church. I love to talk about my church. I love this church. And so I got to talking with this guy about church. And he said, you know, I haven't been to church in a while. He said, I was raised Catholic, but he said, I've been going to the Methodist church. So I got to share with him a little bit about Jesus, encourage him to go to church. He said, you know, I'm going to start going to church again. Thank you for talking to me. Man, that just made me feel good. And plus, I sold the building too. You know, that made me feel good too. That's always a plus. But see, God was good there. On my way back, you know, it's a long drive. I'm thinking, oh man, you know, it's 7:30 in the evening, almost 8 o'clock. And I hit Mount Vernon and I think, man, I'm going to stop and get something to drink, maybe something to eat. And I thought, no, I'll wait till Benton. Something just told me, let's stop at Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon's a little harder to get off. I don't know if you're familiar. McDonald's, I know every McDonald's. But so I swing off at Mount Vernon. Mount Vernon, McDonald's, you have to go out of your way. It's in back behind some stuff. So anyway, I stop at McDonald's. And so when I pulled into the driveway, I got out of the car. I was going to go inside and stretch my legs. And so there's a guy sitting on the sidewalk. It's a homeless guy. And I kind of glance over at him. So I grab the door and I start to go in the door and something just hit me. You need to go talk to him. It's like, it's 8 o'clock at night. I don't want to talk to anybody right now. I want to get my drink, go home. It's like, okay. So I go talk to him. I get talking with him. I was like, how you doing? I said, I guess that's a dumb question. You know, and kind of break the ice. He laughs a little bit and he said, well, I've had some bad luck. And I said, well, I said, you need anything? Have you ate today? And he said, well, I've eaten today. And I went in. I said, well, I'm going to get me a drink. And I'll be right back. So I went in. I got a gift card. I used to keep those in my wallet. It's a good thing to keep in your wallet. Is McDonald's gift cards because they're easy to hand out to people. And so I got him a gift card and went back out and started talking with him again. I said, where are you from? You from here? And he said, no. He said, my driver's license. He said, I'm from Anna. It's like, really? I said, he said, my family's from Cobden. He said, my sister lives out by Braden's farm. I said, really? He said, my grandpa's from Alto Pass. I said, I grew up in Alto Pass. Musgrave was his last name. So I got to talking with him, and I said, I don't know what I can do for you, but I can pray for you. And so I prayed. He said, I just need a break. I just need a break. And I prayed, Lord, help this guy. I said, you brought me here for a reason. I said, you help this guy right now. And I left. I told him, I said, well, I got to get going. And I left, and I got to my car and opened the door, and this guy in this SUV, he opens his door up, and he's got tears in his eyes, and he said, I saw you praying with that guy. He said, is there anything I can do? He said, that just blessed me. And this guy, I'm looking at him and he's got a cast around him. And he said, I said, well, he's just down on his luck. And he said, you know, he said, I've got a horse farm outside of town. And he said, I don't have nobody to help me. And he said, I need somebody to help me. He said, I've even got a place in my barn, a place where he could stay. He said, you think he'd be willing? And so I talked to the guy about what was going on with him and Mr. McClellan. I prayed with him and asked God to heal him. He told me, he said, you know, I've been out of church for a while, but he said, this right here just touched me. He said, I got to get back to church. He said, you just blessed my day. I said, no, that was God. I said, I'm not even supposed to be here. This is not even my territory. Not even supposed to be here. But that's what God does. And I'm not saying that to brag on myself or to boast on myself. I'm doing that to boast on my Heavenly Father because I wasn't supposed to be there. But when we're obedient and we listen to the Holy Spirit and listen to what He tells us to do, then He can bless your life like that. I went home praising God because of what He just did and what He showed me. God is good. He's an amazing God. And He wants to help people. He is the Lord of the harvest. And He's gave us this harvest field right here in Illinois, right here in Anna. where 80 to 90% of the people don't even go to church. Why is that? Is it because maybe we're not really fighting the battle like we should? And listening and witnessing and talking to people and crying out? When's the last time you got on your knees and cried out for your neighbor? When's the last time you shed real tears because your neighbor is lost and hurting? See, we say these things, we read these things in the Scripture, and we talk about these things, and we can do that all day long, all night long, week after week, but we've got to apply what we've learned. And that's what it's all about. He said the workers are few. Why is that? Why are the workers few? There goes Clayton. Oh, wait. That's Bryson. I'm sorry. I thought it was Clayton. I love you, Clayton. I get that way when I'm hungry, too. But seriously, folks, when's the last time your heart has really been broken because you know that there are people, friends, family, people that you don't know? See, we tend to get heartbroken over our friends and our family, but we fail to get heartbroken over that person we don't even know that we know that's not living right. And Jesus did. Jesus was heartbroken over everyone. He died for everyone. He hung on a cross and gave His life for everyone. His heart was broken for everyone. Not just His disciples, not just His close friends, but for everyone. I believe that if we would just start praying, if our hearts would be broken for the people in this community, our churches, not just this one, but all of our churches in this community would be overflowing with people. Because that's what God calls us to do. First Corinthians 9:22, Paul says, you know, I became all things to all people. And I know I quote, that's one of my favorite scriptures. I became all things to all people. To the weak, I became weak. To win the weak, I have become all things to all men so that by all possible means I might save some. You think about that. I love that scripture. That's one of my favorite scriptures because it reminds me that of that passion that Paul had that compelled him. He says, I'll do anything. I want to do whatever it takes to get people saved. That's my heart. I want to do whatever it takes. So I might say, I'm not going to save everybody. I know that. I can't save everybody, but I'm going to save some. I'm going to save as many as I can. And see, if each and every one of us are being that, Paul, we're saving some. I save some, you save some, he saves some, she saves some. Come on now. Where's your heart at this morning? Where's your heart at this morning? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I've wasted so much time in my life. Even on little things like sitting and watching TV when I could have been even just studying your word or praying with somebody or visiting somebody. I've wasted so much time. Lord, and I know your harvest is plentiful. Lord, I pray right now. Lord, I pray. I know I'm not alone. There's many who do work for you. There's many who do a lot in this church. And I encourage them to just keep on doing it. Don't give up. I know ones that really cry out for their neighbors. Lord, bless this church. Let us be good soldiers for you so that we might save some. I praise you, Lord. Lord, I praise you. I honor you. I glorify your name. Let us leave here better than we came. Encouraged to fight on. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.